Hi guys, welcome to the Last Set Podcast, episode 144. We are getting closer to the magic 150 episodes, and today I am joined by my brother. He's a professional wrestler. He's an all-round residential big boy, top man himself. Ryan, how you doing, brother?
Going real good. Thank you for having me. Anything to help out getting to that big 150?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a long time coming, man.
Yeah.
We've spoken about doing this for a long time.
Yeah, I think like going forward when I first started like training with you, which is like almost 2 years now.
Yeah. Well, it's because when you first started training with me, like right off the bat, immediately we had a lot of fucking things in common.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's great. You're also going to be you're the first ever guest I've ever had to have on who's one, a wrestler, yep, and two, actually get to talk about wrestling, because yeah, it's always been something that's like been a hidden like a passion of mine. But I don't know where it's going nowadays. Most people, it's not really something you want to talk to because of the growing up in the attitude era and the ruthless aggression era.
Yeah, it's kind of a thing where like it's like you feel like you can't talk about it because you feel like someone's gonna either talk it down or really hate or really like judge you because of liking something like that. But I openly talk about it like all the time. It's just gotten to a point where I'm desensitized to whatever anyone says. I just don't give a shit.
Yeah, so let's actually really get into that. Like, how did you first start? Because I remember when we met, you first told me you used to do backyard stuff.
Ah, you've done your research, yeah. So the backyard stuff. I mean, because I had that passion for it. I always seem to call it a unhealthy obsession, but it's not really that unhealthy. Like, it's good to have something that you're passionate about. And when I first went to like a professional wrestling show, I went with my wife now, back when we had just started dating. This is about almost 12 years now. Cause I met her and obviously when I first was introduced to her, you do the only reasonable thing you do at that age is that you stalk their Facebook profile. And I found that she actually had been to wrestling shows. I saw photos and stuff. I was like, wow, there's local wrestling. I never knew about this because I was only, 15 at the time. So I didn't know. All I knew was WWE. That's all I knew about. Mm. And I saw that she went to a show. So she brought me to a show out in at the Swan Park, for a company that I now actually wrestle for, Southern Hemisphere Wrestling Alliance. They invaded Midland, I think was the name of the show. Met a couple of guys there, and they actually had one of the photographers there was a friend of hers, and he actually had a backyard wrestling federation. So I thought to myself, wow, professional wrestling must be like ridiculously hard to do. So I thought this may be the next best thing before I actually decide to maybe do professional wrestling. So I think it was like around October. I went over to this guy's place, and they didn't have like a ring per se. There was like a big, we called it a base. It was like a big, like mattress thing. Like, so tires, there was like wood plywood kind of thing, and then padding and then a carpet on top. So went in there, did a couple of breakfalls, which I already kind of had an idea of how to do, but obviously I didn't know what I was doing. Cause I had done like martial arts, like a couple of years before, so breakfalling was nothing new to me. Mm. And then they had me be on their little show. It was like a 40-second match, but like the small scale of backyard. But yeah, I was really into it, and then I ended up doing that for until about 2017. So,
wow. So how many years were you doing backyard for?
So backyards, we started in 2011.
Oh wow.
I started in 2011, but these guys had already been. They started in about 07 when they first started doing it, and then it just grew and grew and grew. Some guys left. Other people stayed because they only wanted to do backyard because they loved the kind of like it being just being a little fun little gathering with their friends. That's the thing that I miss the most about it is just the chats and seeing those people, because some of those guys, I mean, I don't really I see them in passing. I mean, one of them I just found out works where I work now. Mm-hmm. I just saw him in passing. I was like, oh, wow, Kyle, how are you? But yeah, like it's kind of like high school. When you first leave high school, you're like, oh, we're gonna stay in touch. We're going to talk to all these friends. But then you don't hear a thing from them. Mm. So there's guys there that, you know, if I ever had a chat with them, like we'd hit it off because I do still, you know, I still see them as like really good friends. Mm. But it's like, I lose my train of thought here. But it's like that was the only thing that was kind of like keeping us talking. You know what I mean? Like, but I would love to see them again and chat. But there's some guys there that I haven't talked to since 2017. Since some guys I haven't seen since I first started.
Now, 2017, was that the year when you decided that you were going to get involved in Schwa?
So, it was actually 2 years earlier. So, okay. 2017 is when the guys in the backyard, we were kind of like wrapping things up. We were set on doing one final show.
Okay.
And at this final show, I actually proposed to my wife there. Oh. It was a big moment because originally I wasn't going to be like, because I was going to be in the final match. I was going to become the champion at the end. And originally that wasn't the original plan. But things changed because somehow over the years we had our own like booking team, and no one could see this, but I'm doing air quotes here. and it just somehow ended at that. And I thought to myself, you know what? Like, she brought me into this, and like obviously I had been thinking about it for a long, long time. We were together for almost 7 years at this point. Mm. And like even being as young as I was, I think I was about 22, 23 at the time. But you know, she let me like kind of achieve a small version of a big dream that I've always had for my entire life. And on top of like, you know, everything she's done for me, she's been my rock. Like she's helped me literally be the person I am today, and I wouldn't be where I am without her, you know, just being so supportive. Yeah. So I proposed to her at that show. It was an emotional day because I didn't think I would ever do any of this ever again.
Okay.
Because my mentality was I'm gonna see the backyard stuff out until it dies, until it's over, until everyone says enough is enough. I think we had a perfect send off for some guys.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, some guys they did try to bring it back, and it didn't really go the way they wanted, and I was a bit against that, to be honest. But you know, the guys still have a little bit of that passion. But anyway, back to the question, because I'm rambling a bit. About 2 years after, so I'd always like be watching some wrestling and thinking to myself, and I'd go to local shows and seeing it and thinking to myself, maybe I could do this. Maybe I could be a part of this. And I went to a local show. It was when we had there was a British a UK company came over, and they had a couple of their guys, and one of the guys on the show was at the time he was the UK champion, Pete Dunne, if you've heard of him.
Mm.
And he wrestled Davis Storm, and watching that match and Davis Storm being like, you know, he helped put EPW, Explosive Pro Wrestling, on the map. And I thought to myself, you know what, I feel like I could do this. I feel like if I really put my mind to it, I could do this. And it didn't come to fruition until I think it was New Year's Eve 2018. I'm going into 2019, and I got absolutely plastered drunk. And that's where the decision happened, because obviously my, you know, alcohol had helped me out with that. And I spoke my mind. I was like, you know what? I'm going to do it. This 2019, I will go and try. Because I've always said it was never a matter of if, it was a matter of when. Always a matter of when. So I think it was like within the week, I messaged one of the guys from SHWA, and I went down there and I trained. I did the first session and it killed me.
Mm-hmm.
I went home and I was so sore and I could barely move. And I just thought to myself, what have I gotten myself into? Am I going to be able to go in the next day and do it? And I thought to myself, you know, no, that just like, this has always been my thing. Like I always start doing something and then I just kind of give up. But I thought to myself, no, this is something I've wanted. This is something I, because I love performing. It's been a passion, such a passion of mine. I love going out there, being in front of a crowd, making like a young person or a fan, whatever the age group, making them go wild, suspend their disbelief just for a couple of minutes, and they see it's like when you're watching a movie, you know Daniel Radcliffe isn't actually a wizard,
mm-hmm.
but you sit down, you engage, and you think that's Harry Potter. That's
Nice. Yeah. So obviously your character being Ryan Rivers.
Yeah.
Is that the correct word to call it? Character? Do you call it character?
Character, gimmick. You can
gimmick, yeah.
Call it many things. I feel like funny story, I actually wasn't Ryan Rivers. I was just Ryan for so long, from 2019 up until I think it was around mid, no. I think it was until early 2021, where I just didn't have, for whatever reason, I just didn't have a last name.
Mm.
And I pitched names. Like I had a book, and I had written all these names in it.
Yeah.
And I had given it to the promoter at the time. And go through all the list. And I actually found that book a while ago, and I looked in the names, and on the, I had three columns of names.
Mm-hmm.
On the second column, first name was Rivers.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't choose it. He said, I don't know why. So then I messaged, at the time I had messaged, there was a guy I was teaming with. He had a missus who lived over East, and she was also a wrestler. So I asked her, I was like, hey, what came into my mind to ask her. And she just gave me all these names to do, we were thinking of doing like a names where would be double initials, right? So RR. And there was Ryan Rivers, there was Ryan Renegade, there was Ryan this, Ryan that. There was Ryan Rambo or something like that. Rambo Ryan. Rambo Ryan, yeah, because I had the whole thing where I was having a headband kind of thing. So I was like, oh yeah, Rambo, I could do some Rambo. And then I messaged the new guys in charge with SHWA. And I was like, oh yeah, there's this name, this name, this name. And he's like, yeah, Rivers. So after all that, the one of the names that I originally had that didn't get used, and just people have different perspectives and different opinions. But then one guy didn't like it, another guy did like it.
Mm. So now that you've been wrestling with Schwa for a while,
yep.
Now not that long ago you were talking about that as a wrestler, you mainly want to be a free agent.
Yeah.
So explain that again for me, why.
So I feel like, because I'd like to, because Schwa is home. Schwa is home for me, 100%. Mm. I will back Schwa. I will go above and beyond to help out with them, do whatever is best for the show. But if another company wants me to go and wrestle on their show, I will happily do it, because in the end, what I feel in my heart is that the shows come first. I will help you out. I will go out there. I will perform for your show. I will make the product good for you. And then, but in the end, I will, because originally I did have the whole thing of being a free agent, wrestling everywhere. But overall, Schwa is 100% home for me. There was a guy who's one of the main trainers, main performers at Schwa. He wants the people to show him that they can, put the company on their back and run with it. And I've had a few setbacks, and I really want to get to that point, because Schwa, I want to help build it. I want it to be, the thing to see. I want people to be Schwa, SHWA, and the first name that pops, one of the first names that pop in their head is Ryan Rivers. That's what I want from that.
Mm. So where do you think that, so one of the things actually that amazes me the most about wrestling and all that is growing up, especially seeing it on a local scene, is, I'm not insulting, but you guys do it and you don't really get paid that much or little to nothing. You do make your money off your merchandising. And it always fascinates me because you literally put yourself at harm's way. Like, you literally put your bodies at harm's way. I've been to one of your shows now, finally. And then I'm going to give the shout out to these guys because I just couldn't believe it. Because I got to give a shout out to Chadwick and I got to give, and his name Axel?
Axton.
So if you're listening, guys, like, you guys blew me away. The fact that they were managed to put themselves for a street fight and they were smacking each other with tables and chairs and bins and. And then I watched the, and I was sat there for 3 hours as well. I was like, holy shit, I'm only paying $20 to see this. This is amazing. And then the Rumble comes out and then the whole fucking roster's in there. There's like 30 people inside the fucking ring and everyone's doing one thing and everyone's getting up. And I'm just saying, you guys are putting in so much effort into a product that's literally just the price of admission. Like, I get more entertainment just watching this and I could probably go watch a movie or I could go on a night out. And it baffles me because, like, what is the mentality behind this art when you're physically damaging your body and it's for the sake of entertainment? Like, what's give me a little bit of insight into that.
That is a really, you know, that's a really good question. I never really thought about that. I never really thought of how to word that. Like, I don't know. There's some sense of, like, putting your body in harm's way, like, getting that like real genuine reaction from people. It's just it's addictive. It's like we go out there, we put on these shows. We have like characters like have like it's the best way. My favorite way that I can explain it is that professional wrestling in my mind is violent ballet. It like you go, you pay a show, you see a spectacle in front of your eyes, but it's people like using their bodies and like beating the crap out of each other. And I don't know, there's something like some guys, you know, they go out there, they plan out their matches and they think, okay, we're going to do a thing where we have a guy on another guy's shoulders and have another guy flip over that guy, grab him by the neck and have him land on his head. And crowd loves it. And we, you know, like, with like money wise, you know, in independent wrestling, like a lot of guys, you know, they don't like money, a lot of money, but just having that experience and getting to go out there and perform in front of in front of people, it's the best thing in the world, honestly. I can't describe the feeling, like, just before going out through that curtain and having that crowd just erupt.
It's definitely like an art form to it, and of course it's entertainment.
It's different. It's like it's live entertainment. You get to interact with these people as well. So you're watching a movie and you see the bad guy. You see the bad guy, and he does a deplorable act, and it's like, oh, and you're yelling at your TV screen, oh, screw this guy, fuck you, man, and you know there's, you know, it's a movie. But if you go to a wrestling show and if you were to yell out, hey, you suck, they'll turn around, the guy turns around, he looks you dead in the eye and he's like, what'd you say? And then you can have a back and forth and then they do a little thing and then, you know, it's lots of crowd interaction and, you know, just, yeah.
I think, in my eyes, I always tell people it's the closest thing you're ever going to get to watching a live performance. It's the closest thing you ever get to watching a live performance of an action movie.
Yeah.
So it's not like actual fighting. It's all scripted and all that.
Yeah.
But it's close enough. Like, it's like movies, and that's one of the things that probably pisses me off the most about it. Like, they say it's fake. Oh, it's so fake.
Oh, the dreaded F word.
Yeah, I know. But then I'm like, do you watch movies? And they're like, yeah, do you watch action movies? Like, you know, that's fake, right? You know, they're not really actually. All it is.
That's one of my many go-tos when I do explain it to people. But in the end, I say, violent ballet. You go to a movie, you pay your ticket at the door, you suspend your disbelief that you're going to sit down and you're going to watch a giant lizard and a giant monkey beat the absolute tar out of each other. You're not going to see that out on the street. You're not going to see that anywhere. But then with wrestling, you know, there's a lot of people who don't like it because, like, oh, it's not legitimate. I want to see two guys go in there and, you know, they actually stand across the ring and they want to end each other. It's like, well, you know, it's exactly like you said. It's the closest thing to a live action film, and you know, we're putting on a show, and you know, that's the whole thing. We go out there to help people to suspend the disbelief. So then because we have like fans who go there and they talk to fans after shows, and they go, oh wow, you know, oh that guy there, he really hates that other guy. I'm like, yeah, they have some beef. And then I go backstage and I go up to those same two guys like, hey, look this fan, look here, you want to hear what this fan just said? And they're having a laugh while they're sitting next to each other having a beer.
Like, yeah.
But it's the beauty of it, you know. I'm just losing my train
that's
of thought.
That's okay.
Yeah, it's, you know, like people always say, like, oh, it's very good.
It's respecting the craft. Yeah. That's the main thing. So the other thing that I've seen as well in reference to that match I was just talking about earlier on, have you ever, like, done one? I'm like, you in your backyard days, like, you've been hit with a few things, you've been put for a few tables. Do you feel like that's where wrestling is going right now, where people are sort of becoming more and more interested in just the actual stunts of it? Or do you think that we're turning back to, you know, just the days of just absolute pure craft?
Yeah, I feel like it depends on the type of fan you are. There's different things that people like. There's people who they go out there and they want to see a technical wrestling masterpiece. Or there's people who want to see someone just go under the ring, pull out a stop sign and slap the guy over the head with it.
Mm.
And to your point of me doing some of those things in the backyard days, I did a lot of that stuff. I was quite the silly boy.
Is it true that you told me that story about that time you set that dude's table on fire and you put that dude for a flaming table?
That wasn't me. I would never touch fire. But it did happen.
Tell him the story. It's a good story.
So in the early days, this is about 2012, we met these guys and a couple of guys, and they actually had a ring get built in their backyard.
That's fucking cool.
Yeah. They spent about, I think, around $10,000 to get this.
$10,000 to get the fucking ring in there. Yeah, Jesus Christ.
They built it from scratch. It was and now that ring is...
Is it still there?
No, unfortunately, that ring has got sold to an MMA place.
Really?
Yeah. They spruced it up and they made it, you know, actually usable, because you know, they made it from scratch. They used all the stuff, got all the
material,
the stats of how to do it, and they, by God, they put it together. And obviously all us guys who were just out in Pasadena on this base heard about this, and they're like, oh, do you want to come and, you know, wrestle here? And originally we saw them and they had like a trampoline with ropes around it and poles. I was like, oh yeah, nah, sure. I was like, oh yeah, but we're building a ring. I'm like, yeah, sure you are. And then we got a photo sent to us of it being made in this factory, and was like, oh shit, they weren't kidding, we are all going there. And we did. So fast forward to about, this is around I think it was like September 2012. One thing the guys used to call me is Mr. Memory, because I have a lot, because for whatever reason I've always been good with like statistics and like knowing certain shows and knowing certain matches and that. So this show was called Hostile Backyard Showdown, and they had a triple threat Stairway to Hell match.
What's a Stairway to Hell match?
We'll get into that. So a Stairway to Hell match basically is, so you have a piece of weaponry. So it's basically a ladder match, right?
Mm.
So you have a piece of weaponry hung above the ring. We had, as we would, because we were backyard wrestlers, barbed wire. So what you do is, and I can see it in your face here, you climb up the ladder, grab the barbed wire. Once you successfully use the barbed wire as a weapon, then you are able to go for a pinfall and then win the match. So these three guys. Then this was ridiculous. They were doing a lot of stuff in this match. It was just like an absolute clusterfuck of weaponry and just a barrage of like just the place was littered with like broken doors, destroyed chairs, like sticks that they just grabbed off the ground and smacked each other with. And obviously at the time we were like, oh, this is awesome. This is a cool match. And during the end, one of the guys goes over to his bag and he pulls out a bottle of methylated spirits, which, as you know, if you set that alight, it goes up. And he put it onto two doors stacked on top of each other. He lit that some bitch and it went up.
Yeah.
And he then took a double suplex through the door, which was going up, and his shirt caught on fire.
He was okay though.
Oh, he got some burns on his arm, but he was fine. If there is footage out there.
I remember when you showed me that footage, I was like, fucking Jesus Christ.
Yeah, we were a wild bunch. We did some stupid shit.
Yeah.
I never went that far because I may be stupid, but I'm not an idiot.
What's the worst? Okay, what's the craziest thing you've been put through or hit with?
Me? Oh God, I've been hit with a light tube. Like that's
one of those light glass tubes,
like a fluorescent lighting tube. I got hit over the head with it. It didn't really do any. It was nothing because it just goes, oh, just explodes.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the worst thing I've been. Not the worst thing I've been put through. I've been thrown through doors and tables and stuff. I think at one time I got, we did a thing where we had this guy. They did like a surprise return thing. This is in the backyard, and guy came out. He grabbed me by the throat, and this is on the outside of the ring. Chokeslammed me through a door, and the only thing that he'd hit was the top of my head.
Oh, geez.
To the like top of my shoulder blades, and the rest of me hit just hard ground.
Oh wow,
that sucked. But yeah, no, like it looks bad, but if I got to a point where in professional, if I was to do something like that, I'd obviously, think of it in a way where it's, it looks brutal, but safe, we did a lot of dumb stuff. We had a guy jump off a roof once.
Fucking hell.
Yeah, indeed.
Oh, so that's pretty much where I was going to go with this next question, because one of the things we've talked about in the past is the idea behind death matches.
Oh, yeah.
And how fucking crazy they are,
mm-hmm.
but at the same time so popular. So let's start. This is a two-part question. So explain to the audience what the hell this death match is and what's your take on it, and do you think it's here to stay?
So now this is a tricky one. So death matches or ultra-violence... if you think of your regular, like kind of hardcore kind of match that you would see guys using tables, using chairs, using like a kendo stick or something, and using other kind of gimmicks things. But then you turn that all the way up to 100, and there's people using like panes of glass. You've got guys using syringes. You've got guys using pizza cutters. You've got guys using fluorescent lighting tubes, barbed wire, lots of different things, especially if you go and look at old, like, all Japan, Big Japan matches. They were doing things like having exploding barbed wire death matches where they would have, like, the ropes were just barbed wire. There was no ropes, just barbed wire. But when they would hit them, they were rigged with explosives and they would just spark up. And you'd think, some people, you'd look at it and you think, why? Why would you do that to your body? But there's a large cult following of death matches. They have tournaments of death in combat zone wrestling over in the States. We have there is a company here over in Melbourne known as Death Match Down Under.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh wow.
They've been going strong for like the last couple of years now. I think they've actually got a show on as of today. They're doing their own deathmatch tournament. And there's been a couple of one of our guys actually went over there for a show and wrestled on one of their shows and had a match against Callum Butcher, their deathmatch champion.
Did he die?
No,
he's alive.
Unfortunately for him, no, he did not die. I think with like deathmatches, it. You have, like I said before, you have different fans who enjoy different things. There's a lot of people who are very against deathmatch wrestling because it's barbaric. It's nonsensical. But in the end, it's an art form. These guys are like putting on these are like modern day gladiators kind of thing.
I think it's the closest thing you're ever going to get to a gladiator fight. Yeah.
It's like you're watching a live snuff film, but without the actual like person getting murdered.
Yeah, it's like watching actual Mortal Kombat. That's what I can put it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like one of those like fighting games gone bad.
Yeah. Yeah. But even like there's a company over in the States called Game Changer Wrestling, GCW. They do a lot of deathmatch stuff as well. I think it really depends on people. It is definitely here to stay because there is a large following with deathmatches. People love to see violence, and with deathmatches, they just turn it up a notch, and people go absolutely wild for it. I'll admit, if I was ever asked to do a deathmatch, I'd be like, "Cool, how much you paying me?"
Yeah,
because I mean, there's a lot of things I would do, but for the right, deathmatches, I probably it would really depend.
Yeah.
It would really depend on the circumstances for me to do a deathmatch. But I wouldn't say no to the possibility.
Yeah. So where do you think right now that wrestling is going in WA as a whole? And what do you think's the right now that it's lacking where it can get it to the next step?
That is the question, isn't
because
it?
Because the one thing I was concerned about was even though I would say it's definitely been a good year for you in terms of shows. But one thing when I went to that show was the absolute like almost lack of support from outside to these things. I'm like, these people are putting the shit on the line and it's in some sort of like community center down south and it's for a crowd of 100. And I'm like, damn, people should be promoting this stuff a lot more. Now you've done some big ones.
Yeah. I feel like it was... I don't know where it's. I honestly don't know where it's going wrong. I feel like people like it's just. Like, I think it's from I think it's because, in the end, it's a big team effort to promote these shows. If people don't put in the effort, I'm guilty of this. I'm very guilty of it. I don't put up a ticket link or things like that. I think it just depends on how it gets put out, when it gets put out. There's lots of things that go into it. Because there's some shows where we get maybe 70 odd people, or another show we'll get like 200 people. And keeping a venue is also a big thing with that as well, because we've had to switch venues a lot. I can't remember what the reasoning for it was, but the venue that they did have, it fell through, and they didn't want us to have wrestling there anymore. I don't know what it is, but then we moved to a different venue and we got a really good crowd out of that one. And then we had to go to another venue because we couldn't get that venue. And then it's shows where we have a show on, but there's another company that has a show on the same day. So fans that cater to so then there's a difference with like the fans like, oh, who's on this show? Oh, but who's on that show? Oh, we'll go to that show instead. And it's like, shoot, we lost them. It's weird. It's a tough question to answer.
Okay, well, here's a better one to ask then. Because we've always talked about this a lot during our training sessions, but because now we're shifting over into the professional wrestling, shifting over to the WWE side of things. Now, this is where we start nerding out the audience, by the way. So, bear with us. So right now in WWE, one of the biggest shifts that happened this year was Vince McMahon. He had been chose to retire.
Yeah.
Well, I could say forced after allegations of... What was it? Did he sleep with a former employee and he paid her off?
I'm not sure. I believe that's what the the rumor mill is. That's what the news has been saying, that there was allegations and he paid someone off. And then, but then, like, seeing that he had, he stepped down as the CEO, I was like, oh, this is, there's something big going on here. And then honestly, I loved this thing that he did. They had a SmackDown, and the first thing on the show, Vince McMahon, obviously everyone had known about the allegations and stuff, and Vince McMahon comes out of the ring, he gets in the ring, and he just says, "Welcome to SmackDown," and he left. I loved that because everyone was going to think he was going to say something about it, and they just completely worked the crowd. But then seeing that, it's just weird, like, because you grow up and you know, everyone knows Vince McMahon, like, or I've heard of Vince McMahon, WWE, and now he's not running it anymore.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah. That's insane to think about.
If you think about how long he's actually been doing it for, he's in his 70s.
He's in his late 70s. He just celebrated a birthday. I just saw online the other day, or yesterday, I think. And he's celebrating his like 70 odd, if whatever age he is, he's ancient. But now he's like, he stepped down as CEO, and then he retired. I mean, I thought he was just going to keep going until he cacked it, but I never thought I would see the day that Vince McMahon would be like, "I am retiring." I thought he was just going to, do it forever.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking, looking back at some of the WWE shows that I've seen, with the whole, the allegations that he'd been sleeping with his employees whilst he was a married man. If you look at some of the stuff that he did on TV, I'm like, I've kind of felt like it was foreshadowing something, you know what I mean?
Oh yeah,
like the way he used to treat Trish Stratus on screen, and the way that he hired Stacey Keibler to be his assistant, a whole bunch of things that were going down. So I feel like it was pretty hectic. But where I'm going with this right now is Paul Levesque, aka Hunter Helmsley, aka Triple H, is now the CEO of WWE, and a lot of people are now believing that it's bringing back ratings, because it's turning away from being just a family friendly product. For those of you who don't know much, know nothing about wrestling, is that wrestling has gone through phases, and the phases that we grew up with were the Ruthless Aggression era, and the before that was the Attitude era, and now it's the PG era. They believe they call it.
Yeah.
Now they call it the Triple H era.
Yeah, that is a huge thing, because me personally, I love Triple H. Yeah. I've been a big fan of Triple H. He's one of my absolute favorite performers of all time. He's just a fucking badass. He just had a presence about him, and as a businessman, because like if you go and look at on the WWE Network, I can't remember what it was. I think it was the lead up to one of the WrestleManias, and it was just going through what Triple H's schedule was as a businessman, as someone who was going to perform on that show, and it just blew my mind. Like, this man is the busiest man in, like, he's the busiest man I've ever seen. He does all these things, and at the end of the day, he's doing like 4 a.m. workouts, and then he's getting on. As soon as he finishes that workout, he goes and gets on a plane and flies to Cleveland, and he does all his business meetings. And as he's finished doing that, he flies to Florida, and then he's talking to NXT guys and doing all that kind of thing. And now he's like head honcho in charge. I don't think he's the actual CEO. I think Stephanie McMahon is acting CEO, but now he's like head of talent, and he's like running the shows, and it's the ratings are going up, and there's getting a lot of buzz. There's a lot of interesting things happening. It's a wild time, and there's people coming back, there's guys like Hit Row, Johnny Gargano, Karrion Kross, and Scarlett Bada. Like, it's crazy. Like, I think it's doing wonders, because it's creating buzz. It's what you want.
Yeah. Do you think it's turning away now from being a family-friendly product, because we've also got the rise of AEW and how well that's been doing lately?
Yeah, I feel like now more than anything, like, they're starting to shift a bit back into that, like that, like that TV 14 or whatever it is, where it's, you know, it's getting a little bit edgier, and but not too much. It's slowly building back up to it, and you know, people are, you know, people are interested again, which is great. And with AEW, they're always like they've never been a PG product, so it's good to have like that healthy competition going.
Yeah, because one thing that I respect a lot about AEW is that they are becoming more and more of a product for the hardcore fans of wrestling, but they're taking people from WWE or ex-WWE, and it's a place where WWE people can go to if they don't feel like, you know, they've been appreciated enough by WWE. Like, they got CM Punk.
Yeah, that was huge.
That was the biggest move. So for those of you who don't know, like, CM Punk, he was considered one of the best wrestlers or for his time as well. And he came over from New Japan Pro Wrestling, didn't he?
Oh, he came through a company called Ring of Honor.
That's it, Ring of Honor. That's the one. That's the one I was thinking of. And then he debuted on ECW, which was meant to be an extension of WWE. So here's, I think, ECW fans were the ones who lighted that spark to create AEW. And I feel like a lot of people who are big fans of ECW followed CM Punk to WWE. And that's when WWE was almost at a peak as well, because of all the people that CM Punk was bringing in through, you know, his attitude, his character, and for his wrestling style. And then when he left, a lot of people left as well with him.
Mm.
And I realized, I think the people liked him so much because he had that anti-authority attitude. You know, it was more of a time of the anti-villain as well.
Yeah.
So that's what respect the hell out of. And then when he went to AEW, I reckon all those people who are like hardcore fans of the ECW went with him to AEW, and now in AEW it's a completely different product.
Yeah, like even when he first arrived, I think it was like they just had like the year anniversary of him doing that. Even when he first arrived in AEW, he was on the microphone and he was saying that in 2005 he left professional wrestling, and then in 2021, he's back in professional wrestling. I'm like, ooh, that's a shot there, because obviously with WWE, they were against being like calling it professional wrestling. They call it sponsored entertainment.
Why were they doing that so much?
I think that was just like, I don't know. I think there was something, there's nothing wrong with calling yourself a professional wrestler, but obviously with WWE, They really, really, like, they're really hammering it down that this is not professional wrestling. It is sports entertainment. Mm. This is, like, you know, these are not wrestlers. They are superstars.
Mm.
That kind of thing. And even with the females, these are not divas. They are superstars. Mm. They are all this and that, which I actually didn't mind. But it's like in the end, like, you know, they're professional wrestlers. Like they train for years. But with that, with AEW, like I feel like it's, you know, it really caters to that hardcore fan base, and like even myself, like watching those matches, it's like, you know, it feels like it has that very like ECW kind of like esque feel to it, which I really dig.
Mm-hmm. What's one thing that you wish you could add right now to the WWE that would make it more interesting for you?
I don't know about adding. I mean, the one thing I always go on about is that they have so many championships. They have it's not needed. They have like so many. Like they have the whole thing of like Roman Reigns at the moment. He's holding two titles. Like, just turn it into one. Just have one major prize to go after. Mm. One thing that everyone wants to go after. And there, I think I saw a thing earlier this month or something. One of the trainers with Explosive Pro Wrestling, he puts up his own thoughts on particular topics, and one of them was secondary titles, secondary championships. And it's like, And he was saying, like, why would you, as a professional wrestler in a company, like from a storyline perspective, if you're going in there and you're saying, oh, you know, I why would you want to be second best? Why would you want to go for, I mean, obviously like titles, like the Intercontinental title, the United States Championship, you know, they got a storied lineage and stuff. But when you go in there, you want to be number one. You want to be the top dog. You want to go after that. So, I don't know. Like secondary titles, bit there. I'll probably stick it to like leave it to like the one thing and have like so many, you have that contenders fighting for it, and you get a you get that fresh feel.
Mm.
You have different guys going after Roman, but obviously Roman at the moment is just he's Thanos. He's the unstoppable force of nature right now.
Yeah. So now it's time to turn into some like WWE style questions, stuff that we're really like look forward to. So, Roman Reigns, who do you think is going to be the one to beat him?
Man,
like that if there's one person who it doesn't have to be the one, but who you would like to? Who do you reckon could end the unstoppable reign of the Tribal Chief?
So the way I see it is, if I go back, like, so if I go back to like say, I had this kind of mentality, like thinking about it with like when Brock Lesnar ended the streak with The Undertaker, I thought to myself, okay, now he is going to be the most unstoppable character, and whoever beats him will be the next star. But the question is now, it's like with Roman is the same deal. Like he's gotten to a level where it's like whoever, they've made him unstoppable. Whoever beats him now, it has to be the right person. It has to be the right person.
Mm-hmm.
Like you got strong contenders like McIntyre. You've got guys like maybe cause people were saying like possibly Karrion Kross is going to come in and probably do things. Well, we were like, but like at the moment, like I don't see a lot of people. People think that they're going to do a thing. With WrestleMania, where it's going to be him versus The Rock, but like
that would be crazy.
It would be crazy, and I wouldn't put it past him. But it's like The Rock doesn't need to, you know, beat Roman to be, you know, it's not gonna elevate The Rock any further. I don't think it's gonna elevate The Rock any further because he's already like the biggest star in the world, and he's, you know, he's one of the best ever. But thinking like. It's a tough question. It's like if it's going to be anyone, it needs to be the right person. And at the moment, I feel like Drew McIntyre at the moment is probably the strongest guy to take on Roman at the moment because he's so popular and he's got he's actually transformed himself over the years. I really don't know.
Okay.
It's a tough question because I honestly at the moment I do not see anyone stopping Roman.
Anytime soon,
no. But it's like you need to have someone. Surely they've got someone planned out, but it's just who?
Yeah,
because it ain't gonna be McIntyre, who's got this strong run going into this the title match that they're having at the next pay per view. Then I don't know. I really don't know.
Okay, next question: which stable would you argue is the best stable of all time?
Ooh, that is a good one. I mean, I was always a big fan of like obviously DX, Heart Foundation, even like the NWO, but like when NWO first came in until like before they had literally 90% of WCW in the NWO. And obviously people are talking about like the Shield being such a great faction because of where Rollins, John Moxley, and Roman Reigns are now. I can't go past Heart Foundation and DX. Like you even got like the Four Horsemen as well. They were, you know, so many big factions and stables. But I would have to go because I was always a huge big fan of like Bret Hart. It'd be Heart Foundation, in my mind, was probably my personal favorite.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, and what would you say was the greatest WrestleMania of all time?
Okay, so a lot of people say like many different things. You know, there's lots of things like, oh, this is the best Mania in a while. This is the best Mania because of this reason. But if anyone asked you this question, and this is my answer, it would be WrestleMania 17.
Mm-hmm.
They had TLC. They had obviously TLC 2 is a big one. They had like they had Rock and Austin. They had so good. I could go back and watch that. Like I can't. It's hard because like it's my favorite one, but like even just trying to remember all the they had so much at that show. I think Taker and Triple H had a match on that show. My mind's drawn a blank. But I remember like that being such a phenomenal show, that one.
Okay. Well, cool. So to finish this off, I just wanted to do something. You know, on the Broken Skull sessions at Steve Austin, he does his own little thing where he gives the names of wrestlers and he gets the guests to give like one or two or three word answers.
Oh, like word association.
Word
kind
association.
Of thing.
So let's do something like that a little bit right now. There's going to be some you know, some people you work with, and start with the pros. Okay, you ready?
Okay.
Pros. All right. Start off, Shawn Michaels.
Shawn Michaels. He's goat.
Goat. Undertaker.
Oh. Dead man, like, you know, my big thing is that I wish I got to see Taker wrestle live in person. Yeah. But such a presence.
Stone Cold Steve Austin.
What?
okay. Fair point.
I'll say this right now. In the pro scene here, Ryan Allen, has the greatest Stone Cold impression I've ever heard. It is the greatest thing that I've ever heard. It's brilliant. Especially if we go to a varsity bar, he'll read off the entire menu in a Stone Cold voice.
Okay.
And it's the best thing. But Stone Cold, I'm trying to think of words like that isn't just the same ones I've already said. Like just, you know, rattlesnake, badass, like, you know, podcast extraordinaire.
Okay. John Cena.
John Cena. Oh, man. John Cena. You know, like a lot of people back in the day would say like, oh, well, we hate John Cena. But now it's turned like he's one of the, you know, one of the greatest of all time.
Mm.
One of the greatest.
Randy Orton.
Ooh, Viper. What, like the fact that he's still going like on a like full time, like mm-hmm. now, like man, he's like he's just legend. He went legend killer, he's gone through all these stages where he's just, you know, he's like the guy right now. He's the legend. Like he's done the fact that he can change what he's doing in every era that he's been in to, you know, he's very, very adaptable, I find.
Mm-hmm. The Miz.
I feel like he cops a lot of crap from people, but like he went out there with a celebrity at SummerSlam and put on a banger, an absolute banger of a match. He didn't have to do that. He didn't have to make him look that great, but that's just the worker that Miz is. He's, you know, incredible talent. Okay. I love the Miz.
Okay, now to people you work with in the, you know, you ready?
Okay.
Starting off with Cannon Connors, who just recently wrestled.
Cannon Connors, like, man, like, what a dude. Like, he works so hard. He, like, you see it, like, on his, like, on Instagram. He is, like, he does, like, his daily check-ins of, like, workouts and stuff. Like, man, like, he's, you know, like, he's getting, like, all these, like, he's got, like, a lot of stuff going for him that's gonna be huge.
The Dux Brothers.
Oh man, those little bastards. They are so, honestly, I feel like they are very, very entertaining. And I have to say something here because I said to them about myself doing this today, and I need to make a little disclaimer here. So Where is it? Where is it? I'm just having. So I'm just going to bring up. Give us a quick second. Where is it? Okay. So I've got to put a disclaimer. Like, if this is more like a, if you know, you know. Okay. So if you're not privy to what the RDR is, what it means, what their core values are, or their ethical code, then please don't try to be in on the joke. If you know, you know.
Okay.
And what I know is that the Dux brothers are RDR approved.
Okay. And Julian Ward.
The outlaw. What can I say about Julian Ward? Always a great dude to talk to. He's most sickening lariat in the game. And like, because that's like my favorite. If of all things that, like, things I dig in wrestling, things I love in wrestling, the one thing that gets me like a huge reaction out of me the most is a good lariat. And Julian Ward going like old school, like the gunslinger, freaking throwing that out. Oh man, love that. Love it so much.
Chris Target.
Oh man. Chris Target, I have gotten the chance to wrestle him. He's the fucking man right now. He's on top of the world. He's like main champion in like two different companies right now. Team Target. He's got all the boys with him. Yeah, man, there's no stopping him. Like, he is such a pleasure to watch. And he's such, like, you know, good dude to talk to outside of wrestling. He's just got that kind of, like, old school style as well, which I really, really love. But, yeah, man, like, right now, Chris Target is, you know, he's unstoppable right now. He's on top of his game. I feel like he's going to take SHWA to that next level, being champion right now.
Oh, cool. Alrighty. That is all the time we've got for, unfortunately, for today. So Ryan, thank you very much, man, for joining me. Guys, thank you very much for listening to the podcast. If you want to follow Ryan, where can they find you?
They can find me at, pocket_sizedPW on Instagram. You can find me at Ryan Rivers on Facebook as well.
And
at Big Boy Smash, I believe.
And your next show is going to be on?
So we have the next show, whether I am on it or not, we shall see, is EPW Retribution, United We Stand, at the Frio Social on the 3rd of September.
All right, guys. Thank you very much for listening. That is the Last Set Podcast, and that is game.